T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I want to be very clear about something, that my purpose in sharing this is not to guilt you at all. It is just to raise awareness about one of the areas of the world where we have, let's be honest, we've kind of interfered, and long term it's not been helpful, and now it's a bigger mess than it ever has been. This texter says, Vince, why haven't the French fixed their mess in Haiti? Yeah, I think the French have their hands full. The Clinton Foundation misallocated the funds in terms of the fundraising years ago. If you look at it, nearly every non-Christian organization that raised Haitian relief money used it to enrich themselves. Yep. Also, on the financial story we shared, Vince, so what is the big deal about banks not having enough money on hand? The Treasury can print what they want. They can also sit down in front of their computer, pick a number between 1 and 10, tack on as many zeros as they wish. We're borrowing it from ourselves. I remember a quote from years past. George W. Bush was caught by the mortgage crisis. I like to think Trump has more financial awareness to recognize a trap like that. We shall see. Vince, maybe you can get your president to go down there and give them some help. Oh, wait, those are black people. Sorry, that won't happen. Oh, my goodness, really? Vince, do you have any insight as to why the other half of the island, the Dominican Republic, is thriving, but Haiti is wallowing in poverty? It's Jim out of Easley. Boy, you have a very insightful question that you've raised here. It was kind of interesting because I remember as I was, one of the cool things to do when I was on the way to Haiti the very first time, I got to look inside from the cockpit to actually see the island from a distance, and it was absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. In fact, the island, the whole thing, it separated. The western side is Haiti. The eastern side is Dominican Republic. I went to Dominican Republic the first time in December for a short vacation. Beautiful, beautiful island. And by certainly by comparison, very prosperous. What is the difference between the two? Politics. That's the difference. It's politics. Now, I don't completely know the political picture in the Dominican Republic, but I can tell you that it's just gone from one dictatorship to another, and these strongman type leaders, one after another in Haiti. And they've not been good for the country. They have been basically looters of the country's resources. And it's been sad to watch. And unfortunately, the United States has facilitated this by supporting these looters as long as they are pro, quote, pro-Western, without regard for the people. So that kind of answers your question. It is very unfortunate. I'm telling you more about the condition in Haiti right now. Gas shortages worsening by the day. Hospitals cutting services, closing entirely. Public transportation grinding to a halt. Widespread layoffs compounding chronic poverty and hunger. Many Haitians with the means to flee have left or are planning to, or others trying to figure out how they get their next meals. Haiti was once a strategic ally for the United States, which often played a crucial role. During the Cold War, American government supported the authoritarian governments of François Duvalier and his son, Jean-Claude Duvalier, because of their anti-communism stance. 1994, the Clinton administration sent troops to restore Jean-Bertrand Aristide to power after his ouster as president. You may remember that. 10 years later, there was intense pressure from the United States that helped to push him out again. Do you see the confusion that we're involved in creating ourselves? Now protesters are criticizing the U.S. for continuing to stand by the current president. Trump administration has urged respect for the democratic process, but has said little about the unrest in Haiti. Jake Johnston, a research associate at the Center for Economic and Policy Research, says if you look at Haitian history, governments are overthrown when the United States turns on them. Isn't it amazing how much power we still have? We don't even have to get involved militarily. But if we turn on them, everything changes. This current president, Mr. Moise, a businessman, took office February 2017. A process marred by delays, allegations of voter fraud, and an abysmal voter turnout. Outrage over allegations the government misappropriated billions of dollars, with a B, meant for social development projects. That's what started the protests. Opposition leaders have sought to harness the anger to force his ouster, calling for his resignation, the formation of a transitional government. These protests intensified in early September, at times bringing violence to the capital, Port-au-Prince, and other cities and towns. These pictures are amazing. Seeing these police in riot gear, one person saying, "We're not living. There's no security in the country. There's no food. There's no hospitals. There's no school." Really sad picture. Security guard making $4 a day, walking 10 miles each way to work at a clothing factory in Port-au-Prince. Not been paid for more than a month. Still goes to work for fear of being fired. But there aren't any other options. These pictures really bring back memories for me of just seeing the abject poverty. How do you change a country like this? I mean, some of it's political. But there are so many other factors here. And I would dare say it would be helpful to get the UN out of that country. They need their sovereignty. And they're probably going to need some guidance. I'm not sure we can give positive guidance to them. Just something to consider, and for those of you inclined to do so, to pray about. I mentioned corresponding with a friend who is there. I'd love to get your thoughts on the current situation there and why the media doesn't tend to pay much attention. You know, world news used to mean world news. That's what they used to cover in these nightly shows, and now it's just food fights galore, it seems like. Thought I'd give you a picture of something else going on in the world. Stay with us.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back on the broadcast, getting your thoughts on what I was sharing about Haiti. And I'm quite surprised a number of you wanting to discuss this, beginning with Bob in Charlotte. Good morning.
And good morning. Just a little history. All of these French countries or ex-French colonies have problems, and it's because of the way France allows independence. You have to pay France for the lost revenue. So Haiti became free in 1827, but did not pay back the ransom completely until 1948. Millions and millions of dollars to France. They also cannot borrow money, let's say the government, unless they borrow it from France. At whatever rate the French banks want to charge.
You know, the other thing that's interesting that you mentioned about this, it reminds me of the book Creature from Jekyll Island. It was talking about how the IMF and these other organizations, world organizations, the World Bank, how they keep these poor countries perpetually in poverty.
Yeah, well, that's what France does.
It's horrible. It is absolutely horrendous. But how in the world do you get out from under this? How do you change this, Jim?
Well, you don't until you pay it off. But you know, it's interesting that in some of these countries where they have, you know, civil wars and revolutions, France does send in the Foreign Legion. So they do provide some service after the fact.
Right.
But it's very expensive.
Yep, I'm sure it is. Well, thanks very much for your call there, Bob. Let's go next to Jim out of Charlotte as well. Good morning, Jim.
Vince, if I could be president for a day, I'd cut our involvement down in the Mideast and Europe and Asia and concentrate on our hemisphere. We're worried about Xi and him taking over islands in the China Seas, and he's all over South America. Xi's docking ships in Cuba right now. Okay? And of course, we know what a basket case Puerto Rico is, just a few miles beyond Haiti. And why don't we take... And the reason we're having this mass immigration into this country, one of the major reasons, I think, is because the rest of the hemisphere below us is a basket case.
Yes.
And why wouldn't it be in America's best interest to concentrate on this hemisphere? Look what's going on in Chile right now, which is one of the more stable economies in South America. They're down there rioting now, burning the place down.
Yep, you raise a really good point here about, focusing on this hemisphere because, again, and the Chinese are making all kinds of inroads in places like Panama, for instance, which is certainly not good for the long-term interests of America. I mean, and I'm not saying this means giving countries lots of money. You know, it just requires a great deal of wisdom. How do we provide some level of influence in a way that's healthy for them? And again, I dare say of all of these other countries, in a way that it stems also the desperation for people to get to the United States. Because if their countries are going well, they're operating well, they won't want to leave. Ever thought about that? Let us go next to Dean in Fort Mill. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. Hey, Vince, you know, we talk about the humanity of it all, but isn't it even more visible, like in Syria, where we're pulling the troops out of Syria, but we're moving them to Iran to protect the oil wells? I mean, oil wells people? I mean, it's sort of obvious where the priorities are, isn't it?
You think? Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's maybe a good reason why nothing ever improves.
Yeah, it's, and one of the things that I think it's frustrating, a lot of people appreciate your call there, Dean. It's frustrating that here we are with the ongoing relationship with the Saudis, which never seems to have come under any examination or review, I think we have to wonder about that. Why? Why is it we keep sucking up to the Saudis? They have a lot of explaining to do, whole lot of explaining, and we've never required them to do any explaining. We've had plenty of political interests that have covered for them for years. Go figure. Tommy in Concord, good morning.
Good morning, Vince. I wanted to weigh in on this issue with Haiti also. Our church out of Concord actually sponsors a pastor in Haiti, and we actually built a church there, and we have a running school at that church now. And one of the things that's a problem in Haiti is a culture of dependency created by Western nations and the United Nations. And
yep.
What we required as a partnership with the church that we built with Pastor Enoch is that the parents who send their children there have to pay a portion of their child's education. And granted, it's not a lot. They have to pay $4 a month.
You want them invested, right?
Our sponsors pay $30 a month. But also the part of the school, the kids, as they get older, learn a trade skill. One of the trade skills that we're pushing in the school that they're going to be doing is learning motorcycle and a motorbike and scooter repair. So people can become more dependent and have a job and have a trade to do things for themselves. And as Pastor Enoch said, the problem is dependency in Haiti. And one of the biggest things we learned when we first started doing mission trips down there was do not take clothes for the children and people of Haiti. The streets and street corners and markets are littered with clothes from Westerners.
I remember that, yes.
And has destroyed the textile industry there. So do not take clothes to Haiti. There are more than enough clothes there, and it has really destroyed one of the biggest jobs that they had, which was textile mills. That was just some of the things I wanted to weigh in on, Vince.
Yes, and you've raised a great point. I appreciate your call there, Tommy. Again, it's you can do with a country what we've done to segments of our society. Think about what we've done to create an underclass here in the United States of America. Imagine you do this to the majority of a country, and they are used to just handouts. That's destructive. That does not help the folks of Haiti long term. Not in the least bit. Betty in Charlotte, good morning.
Yes, I have a question. After the earthquake in Haiti, how much money did Bush and Clinton get for the? Because I think people really gave to Haiti. So what happened to that disaster relief money?
Yep, you raised a very good question. We're going to touch on this coming up after the break. Appreciate your call there. You know, it's one of the questions I raised here. How much was raised, and where did this money go? And I think just about every independent observer has come to the conclusion that a good part of the money just got squandered to support the, let's just put it bluntly, it's the kind of thing the Bidens have done and the Clintons have done, just enriching their friends. That's what tends to happen. You are connected to the right people, you get the money. Meanwhile, the people it was raised for, it was raised to help. Well, you want to talk about trickle down? I mean, these are the people complaining about trickle down economics. It sure don't work with this kind of grifters.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back on the broadcast, we've been talking about the developments in Haiti. So one of the questions raised, what happened to all that money? The story done by NBC back in, what is this, 2016? Or 2015, what does Haiti have to show for $13 billion in earthquake aid? $13 billion. This was 5 years after the earthquake. At that time, 85,000 people still lived in crude displacement camps. There was a positive story shared here. One person, his home was destroyed. He was moved to one of the tent camps. They were given enough money to move out and build a tent house. The guy now works as a carpenter, has been able to feed his family of four. Described as one of the lucky ones. 95% of the 1.5 million people who were in camps in 2010 have been moved. At that time, many still not in permanent housing. 200,000 in new hillside slums known as Canaan, Jerusalem. Boy, how weird a title. Canaan, Jerusalem. Wooden and tin homes, but no running water, electricity, or sanitation. Well, here's what's going on with this money. Let us see here. The United Nations said in total $13.34 billion earmarked for the crisis through 2020. 2 years after the quake, less than half of that amount had actually been released. U.S. government has allocated $4 billion. $3 billion already spent, the rest dedicated to longer-term projects. So that's just a summation of where some of this money has gone. Kind of an intriguing situation. Let us take the opportunity to take a look at the day in history as we go down to our upstate studio and our good friend Lonzo. How are you today, man?
I am hoping to do better than I did yesterday.
I'm sure you will, because we've got some relatively easy questions from my perspective anyway. The first, in 1836, Texas inaugurated this person as the first president of the republic. Very famous name. In fact, that name, the last name, is one of the cities in Texas.
So this is easy.
Doesn't it drive you crazy? We'll skip that one for now. I know you know this one. I'm confident. 1929.
Was it Austin?
No. I'll bet somebody in here, I'll bet Johnny knows this
was
one.
Was it Bowie?
Oh, I can't believe you don't know this one. I know Charles has got to know this. First president of Texas. Oh, come on. I gave the hint, the one... His last name is one of the cities in Texas.
Sam Houston.
Yes.
Oh,
I knew Charles would know this. Sam Houston is his name. First president of the republic. 1929, transcontinental plane service began between these two cities. Probably two of our most important cities in the country. Transcontinental from one end to the
New
other.
New York and L.A.
You are correct. 1962, this president announced an air and naval blockade of this country in response to discovery of Soviet nuclear missiles on the island.
Kennedy.
You are correct. I remember watching this in school, Missiles of October. Really good production. In fact, William Devane played the president. He does, I mean, the guy even looks like a Kennedy. Very, very well done. 1983, a Muslim terrorist driving a bomb-filled truck killed 237 American Marines in a barracks. I've made mention of this several times in the last couple of weeks. Where did this happen? What city and or country?
Yemen?
No!
Beirut.
Beirut, yes! Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. It is Beirut. And last but not least, this one I'm sure you will get. This person stripped of his 7 Tour de France titles, banned for life for cheating. How dare this guy cheat?
Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong, indeed. What is wrong with that guy?
I got Lance. No, never mind.
Oh, gosh.
Great. Now that's in everyone's head.
I know.
What?
Thanks a lot.
I stopped myself.
Yes, we will stop you forever. I'm just kidding. On the lighter side, I saw this story. I thought this is rather intriguing. This WWE wrestler says he's never taking a vacation and will never retire. Did you see this story, Lonzo?
I did not.
It is John Cena who says this. He has been part of the WWE system since 2002. No plans to retire. He's 42 now. Said he's never going to walk away. It's kind of crazy here. But he says he doesn't take vacations. How do you not take vacations?
Well, first of all, they get to travel all the time. So there you go. I mean, that's what people do when they're on vacation. Plus, he's making movies at weird locales that you and I will never, well, I'll never get to go to, but you might. So, so he's technically on a vacation.
Yeah, I guess it is a permanent vacation. Making an estimated $10 million a year. That's some pretty good coin. $10 million a year.
And we still can't see him.
That's pretty good.
I had to do it before you did. And you and I and some listeners got that.
Yes, I'm sure there were several others who did catch that. But I just thought that was rather intriguing. That, apparently is that enjoyable, that lucrative? And I guess it is really a form of play. So, what reason would there be to quit?
Hey, good for him. That star shines brightly for a short time, and he's taken advantage of all of it.
Yeah. One last item here. This guy named Jalen Alexander carried out a carjacking in Orlando. At least he tried to make a clean getaway. What do you think was his stupid mistake? He stole a car. Unfortunately, it didn't have automatic transmission. Doesn't know how to drive a stick. So he has been busted. What an idiot, huh? This is a real winner. So this guy's behind bars. Guess he'll know better next time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, some items here on the text line on the day of his day in history. So Lance Armstrong is stripped of his championships, but a man can compete as a woman and win a championship. Huh. It is kind of bizarre. That's the world we live in now. Remember that. On the Haiti issue, it sounds like Haiti used the North Carolina Hurricane Relief Distribution Plan. Ooh, that's kind of a dig, isn't it? Let us go out to a call from Tom in Fort Mill. Good morning, Tom. Tom, are you there? Going once? Going twice? And Tom is there no more. Must have fallen asleep or something. I don't know what happened there. Over on the text line. Where do we begin with this text? Boy, this is a long one. You started your show that there are too many whites in government and said we should not always vote for the nominee. Well, we have primaries to pick the best. Now you're talking about the miserable life in Haiti. Is it run by whites? No. Seems we should go there to help. Why? Detroit really prospered under black rule, didn't it? The conditions brought back bad memories to you. You're stoking the race problems as much as anyone. You think we should have more affirmative action? Where is it earned but given on the basis of race? Quit feeding the problem. Aha. One perspective offered here. Regarding Trump's tweet. By the way, we did not talk about this today, but we can now. The president has tweeted that the Democrats' impeachment inquiry is a lynching. Now, I, for one, think that is a stupid use of the English language. The man with any understanding, or any human being with any understanding of the use of that word, would be wise not to use it. Especially one who already is accused of being racist. And as you might expect, see, and this is where I think both sides are silly. I think the use of this word is hyperbole. It really is. And on the same token, the overreaction is also ridiculous. UK Daily Mail has this story. What the hell is wrong with you? Black lawmakers fury after Donald Trump calls impeachment push a lynching. But Lindsey Graham agrees and says the president's enemies are taking the law into their own hands. They're referring to the one-sided congressional process. By the way, on this lynching issue, the Tuskegee Institute says 3,446 African Americans were lynched between 1882 and 1968 in the U.S. Bobby Rush, a black Democrat, exploded on Twitter, "What the hell is wrong with you?" James Clyburn, from here in South Carolina, the House Majority Whip, said lynching is one word no president ought to apply to himself. I agree. That is really foolish. Congressional Black Caucus Chairwoman, every time your back is up against the wall, you throw out these racial bombs. We are not taking the bait. Lindsey Graham told reporters he doesn't understand why African Americans see the president's reference to lynching as a racial attack. It's not a racial attack. I refuse these binary choices. Both sides of this are really way off the chain. No, I think lynching is being seen as somebody taking the law in their own hands, he said, and out to get somebody for no good reason. White House Deputy Press Secretary Hogan Gidley claimed the president was not trying to compare himself to the horrific history in the country at all. Well, don't use the freaking word. See, but I also think this is a product of somebody who just doesn't have an understanding, really, of anything beyond his own life. Now, I know some of you are going to be offended by that, but I think this was foolish. UK Daily Mail is normally really good about objectively covering news of the United States of America. Their story, Donald Trump calling Democrats intensifying impeachment inquiry a lynching on Tuesday, drawing a stark comparison between the murders of thousands of African Americans and the political process that might cost him his job. Outraged, Democratic leaders called the pronouncement racially charged. And we told you Lindsey Graham has backed him up. Venting on Twitter, Trump echoed complaints from other Republicans about the summary judgment nature of some procedures House Democrats have adopted, including limiting their opponents' ability to call witnesses and provide legal counsel to those who the majority grill behind closed doors. So someday, if a Democrat becomes president and Republicans win the House, even by a tiny margin, they can impeach the president without due process or fairness or any legal rights, the president wrote. All Republicans must remember what we are witnessing here, a lynching, but we will win. Then again, we're reminded of the fact that whatever the House does has to go to the Senate for a vote, and all Mitch McConnell has to do is shut the whole thing down. It's all he has to do. It's one of the reasons why I think we've got to be careful to avoid hyperbole, and especially racially charged hyperbole. Just don't use the words. Why do it unnecessarily and create enemies that may not otherwise be enemies? Forget about the Black Caucus and these other people. These folks, they're morons in their own right. Nonetheless, the political food fight will continue, and we'll document some of it and laugh at most of it, to be honest with you. That's it for today. Have a good one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.